Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampal Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. Today I'm reading from the book of Luke chapter 16. There was a rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be my steward." Then the master said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking away the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill, write 80. The master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So that's the confusing verse right there. We will get to it. And Jesus now speaking, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Again, another confusing verse. Verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon." Verse 14, and this is the key to understanding this parable. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, coincidentally, also heard all of these things, and they derided him." Literally, they turned their nose up at him. "And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God.'" So that last verse is the key to understanding this parable. That Jesus was really making a potshot at the Pharisees. The unjust steward in this parable represented the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, and others like them. And of course, the master represented God. So now that we understand that, let's try to figure out what's happening with this parable. There was a particular steward or manager who worked for his master, and he was in charge. You could say essentially that he was the accountant. It was reported to the master that this manager was wasting and squandering his money. So he came to him and said, "You are fired. You can't work for me anymore." So the servant, instead of repenting and saying, "I'm sorry, I will make it up to you, please give me another chance." Instead of being repentant and penitent, he said to himself, "Let me look for a backup plan. Let me figure out a strategy that when my master fires me, I will not be financially destitute. Because I can't do manual labor. I'm not going to beg. What am I going to do? Aha, I came up with a plan." And his plan went like this. He called all the people who owed money to his master, and he said to you, "How much do you owe?" "I owe $100,000. And he said, "All right, give me 50. So what he did was he made himself look good to those debtors. Those debtors now saw him as their inside guy. "He's the guy who reduced my debt from $100,000 to $50,000. He already realized that he lost favor with his master. He was now trying to gain favor with the debtors so that when he was out of a job, he could go to those guys and say, "Remember the time I helped you save $50,000? Now you owe me. And that was his backup plan. That's how he was able to keep himself afloat after he was fired from his job. That parable was an indirect attack against the Pharisees, because this scripture says that the Pharisees were the ones who were lovers of money. They were not concerned about being in favor with God or being true to God or his word. Their primary interest was in themselves. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 15 that goes like this. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother.'" What they mean by that is, I normally give you $500, but hear what? I'm giving that $500 to God instead. And the Pharisees led the people to believe that that was what they needed to do. And of course, they weren't physically giving it to God. Who were they giving it to? Their leaders, the Pharisees. So the Pharisees were essentially telling the people, hear what? Don't give that money to your parents. Give it to the Lord, and I will give it to the Lord for you. And of course, we all know how that goes. All right, these guys just fattened their pockets. And that was the Pharisees. They put their own traditions ahead of God's word. And they led the people to believe that they were doing them a favor. They led the people to believe that they were giving unto God and there was some great reward waiting for them. So the people then saw the Pharisees as their inside guy. This is the guy who is going to help me get a blessing from God. It was exactly like the parable. So the point that Jesus was trying to make in this particular parable is that the Pharisees had lost God's favor. They were the stewards of God. They were the people that God assigned to safeguard his law, to teach his word, to be the spiritual leaders of the people. But instead, they squandered that. They wasted it. They mismanaged it. And they fell out of favor with God. But at least they had the favor of man. That's the point Jesus was trying to make in this particular parable. And it doesn't just apply to the Pharisees. It applies to everybody like them. It applies to everybody who are lovers of money. Right? Notice that. Lovers of money more than lovers of God. People who put money and their own personal needs ahead of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know exactly where I'm going with this. It is a direct implication of modern day prosperity teachers. Those who misuse the tithes and the offerings. Those who take the tithes and the offerings of the people and they convince the people that you have to give unto God. Give unto God. I will take the money and I will give it to God for you. But of course, we know that they take the majority of that money, fatten their own pockets, secure their children's dynasty, and they give their children opportunities that your kids will never have. There's one particular famous preacher on TV who told his people, "Give money to me because I need to get a private jet. I can't fly with these commercial airlines anymore. They're just a tube full of demons, and I'm trying to sleep and pray. And all of these people are just coming up to me and asking me to pray for them, give them spiritual guidance. It's just a tube full of demons. I need my own private jet." If you Google that guy, he has a net worth of $200 million from church money. Just to put that in perspective, he is as rich as Justin Bieber. And where did that money come from? Did he work hard for it? Did he make investments that paid off? No, that's church money. That's tithes and offerings of people who thought they were giving unto God. He just used that money to fatten his own pocket. There's another one who promises your best life now. Net worth of $100 million. And these guys are convincing you to give money to them. There are poor people in your church who have been negatively affected by COVID, people who lost their job, people who are hardworking people who honestly don't know where their next meal is coming from. And you're giving your money to a guy who pocketed $100 million of church money. That has to be a sin. These people are acting in their best interest, but they convince you that they're acting in your best interest. They convince you that if you give to them, God will reward you. So now you see them as your inside guy. You see them as your spiritual guru, the people who will lead you into the land of financial prosperity. This is exactly what happened with that servant and the debtors. The debtors saw the servant as the guy who got them out of a huge debt. In the same way, you look at these popular preachers and you think they're the guys who are going to cause you to be prosperous. And Jesus is saying they have lost the favor of God, but at least they have the earthly following. They no longer have the favor of God, but at least they have $100 million. That's essentially what Jesus is saying. Now, here is a part of the parable that's confusing. It's a part where the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. And he said, the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. So why would the master commend someone for being shrewd and for being dishonest? And then Jesus added his own commentary and said, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Why would Jesus say something like that? Especially when he said later on, you cannot serve God and mammon or money. The key is to realize that Jesus was being sarcastic. He was saying to them, go ahead, make friends with man, get man's favor. Let them take you to heaven when you die. He was being sarcastic that way. And the master commended the unjust servant for being shrewd and being dishonest. That was like saying to somebody, well done, well played. I applaud you. You are better at stealing money than I am at serving God. That's essentially what Jesus was saying to this man. So he was being very sarcastic. And that's why the Pharisees responded by turning their nose up at him, sneering or deriding him. This parable emphasizes the correct relationship between us and money and the correct order of priorities between God and money. Money is good. The Bible never says money is evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And in this particular passage, he says you cannot serve God and mammon. Money was never meant to be our master. It was meant to be our servant. We were never meant to serve money, but we were meant to use money for God's kingdom and to help those who are less fortunate than us. What the Bible emphasizes is responsible use of money. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. He who is dishonest with a little will be dishonest with much. In other words, once a thief, always a thief. It's either you will be a small thief or a big thief. This scripture emphasizes the correct use of money, and it is a direct rebuke to those who will make money and financial prosperity the center point of Christianity. It was never the center point of Christianity. Christianity was never a means of gain. Instead, money is something that we use to serve God and to serve others. So if you know a particular pastor is using the money to fatten his own pocket and to build his own kingdom on earth rather than God's kingdom, then why are you still giving to him? And what the Bible teaches is that you must use money to genuinely serve God, not use God to serve money. If you've missed any of our previous messages, you could go to our website, BibleIssues.org, and you could look for the audio sermons link. And you could catch up with all of our previous radio programs, including this one, that is BibleIssues.org.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampol Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.